Welcome to the Dames Who Dish podcast.
Welcome, welcome.
It's a lovely, oh my God.
Fall? It's so is it nice. Fall yet? It is fall.
We are fall, but it's what, 82?
Yeah, it was like 90 degrees today.
Beautiful.
It was very nice.
Still in the backyard, still social distancing. We had a great interview just now. And we're going to tag on to the end of this. And it has to do with MAFS Australia. And it's a male. So stay tuned.
I know. That was a good one. Did you have a holiday on Monday, Anne?
No.
You didn't have a...
I had to think. Do I have a holiday?
You didn't have Indigenous People Day?
No. Did you?
No, but my husband did.
Oh. Well, yeah. I was going to say... So he was home, but he's home anyway.
He's home. He's still home anyway, except home. That he was in my face all day on Monday.
Same. What are you doing?
Yeah, what's going watching on? Baseball, talking to me. Oh. I'm like,
What is he doing talking to you during the day?
That's right. He should be retreated into his workspace, his little space, and not in my face all day.
I love a good murder mystery podcast. So I clicked onto a few. There's one that I started to listen to, and it's just not good. And it was up there in the top murder mystery. I don't know if they're murder mystery, what they are. It's called Paper something. God damn it, I'm going to have to look it up. I almost want to stop, but I can't because it's continuing. But it's once a week.
It's not good, though, and you're still listening.
Because now I need to know what the hell happens. Mm. Called Paper Ghosts. It's not very good, so I'm not recommending that one. But it's bugging me that I have to finish it. But there is one called Tom Brown's Body. Horrible name for a podcast, but it's really good. It's about a boy who disappears.
And Tom Brown.
Tom Brown. I'm going to shock you. His name is Tom Brown. And they're looking for his body. So I look forward to that. But so what I was getting to is I don't want 30-minute little podcasts. And don't get me totally hooked in and me listen at my 1.5 speed. It goes by in 15 minutes.
Okay, sometimes I actually turn it back to just one because I don't want it to go so long.
I know, this is the problem. So now I think I need to save them up. So I decided to get a book on...
Which one?
All right. So I've never done Audible.
You haven't?
No,
it's
really
fantastic.
Weird. I know. I should have done it a long time ago. I've done books on tape before, way back in the day when I used to buy the tapes, the actual CDs. I would listen to them in my car while I was driving the kids around. I like a good book on tape.
Mm-hmm.
So Audible, I thought, what do I get? What do I do? I still like a real book, but God forbid I actually read anymore. I just don't. So I go onto Audible. First book's free. Then the pressure. Oh my God. What book do I get? So then I get Mariah Carey's.
I was just going to say, I was going to get that book, but it was a little pricey for me.
Well, it's free. It was free for me.
How come it was free?
Because the first book's free on Audible.
Oh.
So see, I started listening to that one.
Because I've heard
gonna
people
go
say
against
it's good.
Popular opinion.
I know I'm going to get bashed for this. I'm not a huge Mariah. I mean, there are songs that I
no,
like.
No, I totally agree with you.
But I'm not a huge Mariah Carey
no,
fan.
No, if you ask me what songs did she sing, I'm like... The Christmas one.
Yeah. Exactly.
And a few others. I'm not like a Mariah Carey lover, but it got so many great reviews that I thought, shit, this has got to be good. I've just seen so many reviews. People are like, oh my God. First of all, it's great hearing her voice. I don't know. I sped it up a little bit. That tells me I need it a little faster. Let's go.
How far are you into it? Because.
Okay. So I'm going by the hour thing. It's an 11-hour book and I'm 8 hours. I have 8 hours left.
Okay.
I'm not finding myself wanting to keep going.
Well, you just made the decision for me because now I'm not.
I wish I could send this to you, but it's an unpopular opinion. People seem to love it. Now, the positive about an Audible of her book, she sings the intro, which is pretty sweet.
I heard that. Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel bad that I don't like. Maybe I'm going to keep going. I'm going to finish it, but I'm not excited about it. What's the matter with me?
I don't know. The last book I read was the Gary Jannetty book that you that you told me about.
Which is great.
Or you gave me to read. And that was so quick and so light and so fun. And I was looking at, actually last night, Mariah Carey. And so now I'm glad.
Well, right now it's not light and fun. Maybe I'll get to the light and fun. I don't know if there's any light and fun in her past at all. Maybe that's it. I don't know. I don't know what I was expecting. Listen, I'm only a couple hours. I reserve the right to change my mind.
All right, so give us an update next week then you're at with
I'll see how far I've gone. A few things. I was listening to Jeff Lewis live today. He signed a 2-year contract on Radio Andy. I'm super excited. I know Jeff Lewis is pretty controversial. I think
he's an acquired taste.
Hilarious. I take him with a grain of salt. I think his honesty is refreshing.
Well, he's our kind of people.
Very unpolitically correct. And he's okay with it. He doesn't give a shit. He says whatever he wants. I'm really surprised they actually signed him for another 2 years.
Yeah, not a year, 2 years. He's funny.
He actually said a few things. Well, we'll talk about. He had Shannon Bador on.
Oh, I haven't listened to that one yet.
Well, I'll talk about it when we talk about OC.
Okay.
Anything? Oh, the 10-10-20-20 weddings were this last weekend.
Yes.
A few pictures from Kelly and Rick.
Yeah, I did love that she wore a black dress, though. Because, you know what?
If you love her or hate her,
she looked amazing.
She looked gorgeous. Whatever stuff she put in her hair, the extra hair, looked amazing.
I love that she didn't wear white. I think all of her guests wore white.
On the other hand, Cynthia Bailey, who's been married maybe just once before. I think her last wedding was her first wedding.
Yeah. She wasn't married to her daughter's dad.
No. The marriage that we saw season whatever, one or two, to Pete. What was his name? Pete?
No. Peter.
Peter. That was huge. The wedding was dramatic. It was beautiful.
And her dress was amazing. That silver, beautiful dress.
This, on the other hand,
this one was this terrible.
Ooh, Cynthia. I didn't like it. She changed like two or three times. The pictures in People magazine, just didn't think it was great.
I didn't either.
Like the dress. Cynthia Bailey is drop dead gorgeous. I don't think this was a good representation of what she looks like.
It wasn't flattering on her. No. I didn't think. I thought the dress she wore last time she got married, that was like a model wearing a beautiful gown.
Plus, this wedding was huge. And it wasn't his first wedding either.
No.
They had a lot of people there. They had a lot of crossovers. They had some Atlanta housewives. They had Married to Medicine, which is fun. Yet, they kept saying, yes, we took precautions with all the COVID. Mm. People were wearing masks, all this. When they showed pictures, there was a few masked, a few not. And everybody was very close together.
Everybody was.
Don't want to judge, but don't say what you're doing and you're taking all these precautions when you aren't. And the reason was they had to do it inside because it was raining outside that day.
So it was supposed to be outdoors.
To be outside. So it would have been better. I get it. You don't all of a sudden uninvite people. You work it out. I just think don't do all the pictures. It felt weird. It felt a little strange to me.
Well, yeah, because we're not used to it. And a lot of people had those face shields on.
Yeah.
We laugh about that.
They're open at
the bottom.
Do
they protect you?
They're open at top. Why not just wear a mask? Because these ladies want to be seen. They've had their makeup done. They don't want to ruin it. I just don't put makeup on the bottom half of my face.
And it's just fine.
Yes.
On another note, did you hear, this is a really sad story, Brandi Redmond's daughter and mother-in-law were in a terrible car accident. Her mother-in-law passed away. Her daughter, Brinkley, who's 9, she's okay. But can you imagine how...
Was there anybody else in the car?
I don't think so.
Brinkley's the second daughter.
Yeah.
The nice one.
Yeah, the nice one.
So sad, though. Gosh.
Yeah, it's awful.
Do we know any more about the accident? Was it...
No, whose fault it was, or what happened.
Not that it matters. No. I'm just... Yeah. Oh, God. Just awful.
Yeah, very sad.
The other thing that I saw out there was that Tamara and Eddie were seen... with the
Selling Sunset.
Yeah. The girl, they're the engaged couple.
Tariq and
the fiance. The girl that's on Selling Sunset. Yeah. That looks just like the ex-wife. They were shown, the four of them all pictured together like they had all gone out. And so people are saying, Tamara, oh my God, are you going to be on Selling Sunset? Because she's a real estate agent. And she said, no, not that. But we got some other things in the works. Ugh.
She says it all the time.
Do we care? No.
Nobody cares.
And we'll talk about if we even missed her and Vicky on OC. Bethany and her boyfriend broke up.
I know. That was shocking.
That was shocking. Shocking. Wasn't it?
2 years together.
Yeah.
Bethany's just not really meant to be with a guy.
I don't know. This guy was really embedded in her life also.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with her daughter and everything.
It's sad for her daughter because I wonder... How does her daughter feel? So she was with Dennis, and then Dennis died.
Yeah, she let Dennis very close in their lives.
Right, and now he's gone. It's like how many... I mean, I guess if you feel like it's going to be a lifelong thing, nobody knows what's going to happen.
That's true. I mean, we've never had to deal with something like that. Where you are thinking, should I introduce them to my kid? I still haven't introduced Dan to his own children. It's better that way.
Who are these kids? Why are they here?
They are just adults that are around once in a while.
Oh, and then Ashley and JP divorcing. So they've been separated for a long time, which I didn't know.
Nobody knew. Very hush-hush. I was listening to Reality Steve, and he didn't know. He doesn't know. I respect that they kept it private. I don't know how long they've been separated. She's been doing still some Bachelorette stuff because of the Bachelorette season coming up. She's one of the OGs. After Trista and Ryan, she was the next one to have the longest relationship. They were married 8 years.
Yeah, and I like that little montage that they did. And they started with Trista. And God, her kids are teenagers now.
I know.
And then they went down the line. And so many of them have kids now. And
so
she was in it. Ashley was in it. But wasn't her husband diagnosed with some disease?
Yeah, he had some rare
thing. Was it
MS
or what?
No, I think they thought it was. But it ended up not being MS, but he had lots of tests. He almost died. He had this, like, this rare immune
thing.
But is
he okay now?
I think he's okay now. Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was, like, on the decline.
No. I think he's okay now.
Hmm.
So that was just last year. So, God, if they were going through this and that. But their main thing they both said was, we both are just very different people. What does that tell you?
What does that mean? You're
just now
figuring out that you're very different people 8 years in and 2 kids later?
Very different people.
Seems
what
weird.
Does that mean?
Can you imagine 30 years in, 32 years in? Troy and I are just very different
very
people.
Very different people. Listen, you deal with it. I'm just sad because they have the 2 kids. Hopefully
yeah, that is
okay.
Sad. That is
let's,
sad.
Let's roll into The Bachelorette. Premiere of supposedly just Claire's season of The Bachelorette.
Mm.
So many thoughts. Now, we have a lot of podcast partners that do full in-depth of The Bachelorette. We do so many other shows here, so we're not going to go each person, you know, what
no,
we thought. Obviously,
no, no, no.
Highlight. We do highlights, what we like, what we don't like. We obviously are dames of a certain age, so our opinions seem to be a little bit different of our peers in the Bachelorette community. I will be curious to hear what you thought of all this. A lot of people are saying, oh my God, what a horrible first episode. I totally disagree, and I say, oh my God, what a fucking amazing first episode.
I didn't think it was horrible. It was a long whole, I mean, the process was long, but they didn't, it seemed like they cut through a lot of the bullshit in the beginning.
You know what the bullshit that they cut through was? Each person's bio. We don't care.
We don't care. We don't need it.
We have had time to look up these people if we wanted to see them. I'm so sick of the fake bios.
Now, was that really her house in Sacramento?
No.
I
oh
don't
my God,
think
Gina,
so.
All of you know, we live in the same town that Claire lives. The house they showed, that's in the Fab 40s. And
yep.
She does not live there. No fucking way.
No.
Like, on her Instagram lives, that's not the inside of the house that they show.
It's not.
No.
And there was also a picture of her, like, trimming hedges in the front. And so I looked at the house, and I'm like, there are no hedges in the front of this house, so this is not the house.
And I've seen her on her lives looking out her front window. That's not the Fab 40s, my friend.
No.
So they are bullshitting us. That's not her house.
I know. I sent the picture to my daughter who
lives in that area.
And I'm like, does this house look familiar? It kind of looked familiar to me.
It did. Yeah.
I'm going to go find it. I'm going to go freaking find it.
Let's find the fake house that they're saying Claire lives in.
Yeah.
But I did love they showed a little Sacramento.
I know. And they always show
the best parts,
the Capitol and the parks and the Rose Garden.
Which is fine.
So what did you think? I mean, of the whole process. So they were in freaking Palm Springs in the dead of summer.
They were just sweating.
Did she really drive all the way to Palm Springs?
Yeah, probably.
With her dogs?
Sure.
Maybe she did.
Few things. Chris Harrison. Oh, God. Did he dye his hair?
I think he did.
Oh, God. I don't like it.
I think
don't,
he did.
Don't do it, Chris. Stay pure. Don't go so dark.
Mm. He's got a young girlfriend now.
Mm-hmm. She's in her 30s.
Yeah, I know.
That's another controversial
thing
about the girlfriend who covers the show. And she covers the show like she doesn't know anything. But you know what? When we get some pre-things of, like, some of our shows, like Temptation Island gives us the shows before they air.
The screeners.
We act like we haven't seen it. We're very good at that.
It's
us
true.
Professionals.
You would never know.
We know what happens.
Our reactions are pure.
So they show the 2 weeks of the men being down there in quarantine.
Yeah, so they were there for 2 weeks, I guess going stir crazy, clearly, because they really had nothing to do and nowhere to go and...
I think they must have gone outside, right? They had these little cottages.
I would
they
hope
were in,
so,
but then
it's
they would
freaking 120 degrees down there in the summertime.
But they all got the clear. So one of the things that was interesting when they did This Is Who Claire Is, let's remind you for the 5,000th time, they show a lot of her and Juan Pablo, and they never ever mention her in Winter Games, her having a little thing with two guys at Winter Games, one of them Benoit, mm-hmm. another one a German guy that I can't remember his name. She really liked the German guy. The German guy didn't show up, I think, to one of the dates or something, and she brushed him off, went with Benoit. Then they broke up.
Well, she was engaged to Benoit.
Then at the reunion of Winter Games, Benoit came and proposed, and she said yes. They cut that whole thing out. Also, I saw that Benoit did come and tape with her, and they never showed it. So they just decided, listen, we don't need to remind people that Claire's not only been on this show 5,000 times, she also got engaged to Benoit, and then that didn't work out.
It was never going to work out.
Oh, never.
I'm not a huge fan of Claire. She's a little, I don't know, she's a little put on for me. She doesn't seem super authentic.
I don't know if it's authenticity. I know what you're saying. I can't put my finger on it. She wants to come off like I'm this strong, independent woman and I'll speak my mind. Hey, that's fine. My God, Gina, if we spoke our mind all the time, we would not be married anymore. You got to like zip it a little bit. You got to give a little.
You got to tone it down.
I'm not quite sure what it is about her, but she definitely turns people off.
Well, she's been floating around this franchise for so long. So I'm going to be interested to see what women they bring in that she like bounces, you know, stuff
ideas off of.
Or
you
if
mean
she
who
does.
They brought, who they brought in to, for
any
her
girlfriends?
To consult with.
I don't think she has any girlfriends.
I know they brought in Ashley She talks about being there.
Well, was it for Tayshia or was it for her?
Well, that's a good, that's
because
a good question.
I can't think of one person that Claire is friends with
from
past
the
seasons.
Franchise. It was so long ago.
Yeah, it was so long ago.
I don't think she has a lot of friends still from the franchise because it was freaking 10 years ago she was on.
Well, and she's older. And the whole theme of this whole episode was how many times are they going to remind us that she's 39? She's 39. And the fact that she kept saying that she showed up and she's proud that she showed up and she showed up and she showed up.
It's like, shit. Of course she showed up. You wouldn't be the bachelorette. Of course you showed up.
Exactly. But it was like some feat that she showed up. Yeah. And how strong she is.
I'm here. I showed up.
Mm. I know. Yeah, you showed up because, for one, they're paying you. Number two, you're a hairdresser and we're in quarantine. So what the hell else do you have to do, Claire?
And you don't live in that house in the Fab 40s.
Exactly. We know that.
For those of you who don't know the Fab 40s, these are spectacular houses. And that house I showed is the smallest in the Fab 40s. And it still looked great. No, she doesn't live there.
Not her
house.
All
right, let's go on. Any of these guys step out for you? I don't even want to go through all of them, but any of them jump out, like, don't remember the name, but the guy that came out in the straight jacket, which I thought was kind of a cute, funny little thing.
Yeah.
The fact that he stayed in that all night long, that poor guy, that poor kid, he looked like a
young
kid.
Why did he stay in that all?
I don't know. He should have taken it off. He should have come in. I'm crazy for you. Point across, take it off. No, he sat there with it all night long.
He sat there. And
felt bad for him.
There were a lot of young guys. I mean, like 26, 27, 28, which I was a little shocked. They far outweighed the 30-somethings.
And they did recast for her. They brought in a lot of the older guys.
I mean, what? I don't know. I thought that was interesting. But there were a couple, I'm trying to think.
Okay,
Blake, I thought was super cute.
Which one was Blake?
Blake was the one in the green suit that messaged her before the show.
Yes, I think he's fine. I think what's on my shoulder?
There's a mosquito in your hair. Oh, do you happen to have any bug spray, perchance?
I do. Let's pause
attacked
here. And should I put on the bug zapper?
Maybe.
Please hold. Okay, we sprayed up with Cutter, aloe, and vitamin E bug spray. I turn on the bug zapper so you may hear a few bug zaps. It is warm.
It is warm. Buggy.
Full of mosquitoes. Okay. Kenny, boy band manager with the dog shirt.
Mm.
I think he's kind of cute. No?
He is cute, but I think he's a little full of himself. I get like the kind of douchey vibes from him.
But he's,
don't you?
He's age appropriate.
Yeah, there's not many.
Thoughts on Dale? I may have a totally unpopular opinion about Dale.
He didn't wow me at all. I mean, he was very nice, but he almost seemed very calculated. Like he was very rehearsed in what he was saying. So my question is, did she know him or did they start talking before they started filming?
They tried to make it very clear that the one guy that she spoke to,
that was Blake.
Yeah. You're the only guy that messaged me when I was going through stuff with my mom and you broke the rules. But I just have to say I really appreciate it because you were the only guy that messaged me. You're the only one. You're the only one. Did you hear me? You're the only one.
So no. They know, she knows who they are before.
Well, she knew all of them because they put all the names out there. Then they sent her home for COVID.
Right.
So yeah, she admitted that she went through and checked pretty much everybody's bio, but she's claiming that Blake was the only one that messaged her.
Hmm.
Is that true? I don't know.
Well, she kept referring to Yosef as Yo. And I'm like,
what? She
yeah,
did?
Yeah, you didn't catch that?
No.
She kept saying Yo. And I thought, well, does she know him? Like, why is she referring to him as Yo?
Also, thoughts on the Yosef Tyler drama. I know people are like, Tyler should have never, you know, brought it up to Yosef. Why not?
Yeah, why
not?
The
producers went to Tyler and said, Tyler, you should tell Yosef what you know. People, producers work this shit out. They want this drama. Yosef is the one that brought it to Claire. He didn't need to bring it to Claire. Claire didn't know anything. Let it go.
It wasn't that big of a deal.
It wasn't. And so what? Is he slimy for going into people's
Hell
DMs
yeah.
because all of a sudden he has it on there that he's going to be on The Bachelorette, so he's sliding into DMs?
Well, Yosef
is still single.
Yeah, and Yosef, he thinks he's a lot more than he is.
Yeah, I don't find him attractive.
I
thought
either.
Tyler was more attractive. Even though I didn't think Tyler was that attractive. I think should have sent them both home. And we also see that next week, Yosef is the one that says something about her age.
Well, yeah.
Like for a woman your age.
I think boots him at that point.
For sure.
Who is the guy that was the Harvard grad? Was that Drake?
Oh, yes. I don't really remember his name, but he was very high on himself.
He wore the scarf.
Not just a scarf, but a scarf in 105 degrees.
Yeah.
Maybe 120.
A tuxedo and a white scarf, and he didn't get out of a limo.
Now Ashley I said he was kind of playing up to this Harvard thing. No, he got out of like a Bentley,
Bentley.
One of those Rolls or a Bentley. He was playing up to this persona. She says he drops it, so let's hope he does. I just don't find him that attractive. There's one guy I find extremely attractive, Gina.
Which one?
Extremely attractive. They barely showed him except walking in. His name was Brandon. He's very good looking. He can say nothing. He could just stand there. He's beautiful.
Are there more men than normal? Because it seemed like there were a huge amount of men. It
seemed like there was a large amount and they only let like four go.
Yeah.
And the people that they let go, I was like, yeah, who are you? I don't know.
Yeah. Where'd you come from? She's supposed to only have four episodes before Tayshia comes in.
That's what people are saying. Did you see Jimmy Kimmel after?
No.
We got notice from another podcast friend that apparently she had a ring on Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Did Jimmy ask her
about
it?
No, he didn't. But somebody pointed out and she said later in something, oh, I bought that ring for myself. Who knows how true it is. Now, Jimmy was asking if she knew any of the guys before. And she says, nope, I didn't. I did look at them, but I didn't talk to anybody except that one guy. She's holding true to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kept saying like, so are you there for 4 weeks and you're gone? She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. This is my season of The Bachelorette. But then they said, what about the rumors that Tayshia comes in? Have you ever met Tayshia? And she said, I've never met Tayshia. So that was interesting.
Yeah. And even Reality Steve, who gets all the scoop, doesn't even know for sure what's happening.
Nope.
So that's pretty interesting. Well, that's what happens when you're confined to one resort and there's nobody around to see you frolicking on the beach taking pictures of you anywhere.
I know.
So they don't go on excursions or anything?
Nope. Everything's right there.
Huh.
I don't know. I kind of love it. I love that nobody else knows. I think it's fun.
Well, this is one of the first seasons that we don't know in advance Mm-mm. what's going to happen.
Mm-mm. Not at all. Reality Steve has Tayshia. He claims he knows Tayshia's final four. I didn't even listen because I'm not following Tayshia yet. I'm all into Claire. I want to know what happens with Claire right now.
Yeah, one thing at a time.
Let me go back to Claire's look the first night.
It wasn't
Claire's
great.
Claire's beautiful. I don't think she looked that. I don't think that dress was that great. Get some color in there.
Didn't love the dress either.
Mm-mm. Just like a sparkly, mauve or something? I don't know.
I don't know
Give
what it was.
Give me some color.
It was like a brown looking.
Yeah,
and it's summer. Like, get summer. A pop of color.
And lighten up the dress. It was a heavy, heavy dress.
Mm-hmm.
All right, can we go to OC? Which I was not excited to watch, by the way.
I wasn't either, and I have to say, didn't miss Vicky, didn't miss Tamara.
Nope.
Tamara and Vicky who? Did not
Don't
for
care.
1 second.
I hear a lot of people saying, first of all, they're not watching the OC because they hate what...
They're boycotting.
They're boycotting mostly because of Kelly. I understand their views. They mm-hmm. can do whatever they want. We watch all shit TV.
All
of shit,
it.
All crap, We will talk about it.
I love the montage from the beginning.
I did too.
I love Gina Keough narrating.
What the hell?
Why? And you know what I love?
Are we going to see her eventually? I don't think so.
Well, who, no.
You know what it's like, Gina? It reminds me of Desperate Housewives.
Oh,
they
yeah,
have
yeah.
the dead person
yes!
narrate. That's
the
what
dead
it reminded
person.
Me of. Oh, my God. Gina Keough is the dead person.
She
She's
is going
narrating.
To
it's classic.
Rise from the dead.
If you were not an original watcher, you wouldn't know who the hell was talking.
True. And we watched from day one. But you know what I loved is they said they showed all these clips from all the housewives of yesteryear. And then they said new beginnings. And it was freaking fantastic because exactly what it is. Nobody gives a shit about Tamara or Vicky.
I've seen some people
beginning.
Are saying it's not the same without them. You're right.
It's better.
It's completely different. I will give you that. It's completely different. I came into this with literally zero expectation.
Same.
I didn't know who I would like. I was kind of confused going in, not really knowing where they would start, what was happening. I was totally shocked. I don't know. It is a whole different show. I feel like I'm watching an entirely different show. Weirdly, I feel very grounded with Shannon.
Well, Shannon's the OG now, and so
sure.
she's kind of the anchor.
I always liked Shannon. I always thought she was a little over the top, but I thought it was funny. I think she has a great sense of humor. I thought she was mean to people at times. She wasn't the most inviting to the new people, but having her be this grounding source, I actually really enjoy her.
Yeah, me too. I don't hate
she's
her.
She's super happy now. She has this new boyfriend, John.
Yeah, and the kids, the dynamic
all get
with
along.
The kids, and you know.
Yep. When I listened to Shannon on Jeff Lewis, one of the big things was looking at Gina and her little house, and everybody was making
yeah.
kind of fun of, she had all these bunk beds in these little rooms, and it was kind of small for her and her boyfriend to be living, and people were very judgmental about that. Well, Shannon came out and said, listen, me, Kelly, and Bronwyn all live on the same street right now. Beautiful neighborhood in Newport. First of all, is Newport in OC?
Newport's Orange County.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll let them have it. I was going to say, they need to change the name. So they are all living in these beautiful big houses. Shannon admitted on Jeff Lewis Live, she goes, I'll tell you something. We all rent. Gina's the only one who owns her house.
They all rent?
They all rent.
Shannon
Even
rents?
Bronwyn. Yep. They
You're
all
kidding
rent.
Kidding me? Well, then good for Gina.
Jeff Lewis was like, I watch The Real Housewives of Orange County, to see these opulent houses, to see these women who have money that I don't have to live this lifestyle. And he goes, I don't feel like Gina has that. Well, she doesn't
she
right
doesn't.
Now. She did when she was with her husband. And
yeah,
they
who I think we're
going to
see later in
life.
The
yeah, it's crazy.
Later in the season.
Yeah.
So Kelly, we get introduced to Rick Leventhal.
Yeah, that was interesting. I didn't know that Rick was even going to be a part of this. I guess it's obvious he would be.
Well, he's on TV now. Do you think he's going to not want to be on?
True.
I think he does. But you know what I didn't like? The freaking close-ups. The confessionals were so close. They need to back that camera
Shannon
the fuck
talked
up.
About that. So apparently they did all the confessionals of all the women when COVID hit in their garages, and it's too close.
Way
I think
too
they
close.
Were the first confessionals before even New York.
Oh, is
I
that
think
right?
OC started it, so they were kind of new and fresh. And Shannon said, "I hate to tell you this, but it doesn't get any better.
It's terrible.
They're really close."
Kelly was. I was like, "Oh my God, what
Back
is happening?
It up.
Back
yeah.
it the hell
yeah.
up."
So we saw Gina's boyfriend Travis.
Yeah,
at BravoCon. I think they get along fine. I love Gina. And her whole weight gain thing. And she's like, shit, listen, like, there's nothing I can say.
Yeah.
I mean, I like gained it. I just think Gina is real. Does she fit in with these ladies? I'm not quite sure. But
no, I mean, she said she had the love chub and they did show her going to yoga. And she is a little bigger than she was last season. But, you know, she pulled her hair up. Did you see all the extensions in her side of her hair? I don't think she cares. I honestly don't think she cares.
That's kind of the one thing about Gina that I do appreciate. She doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
This is her. This is her life. She went through hell last year.
Yeah, it was brutal.
And then we see Emily and Shane. Thoughts on Emily and Shane going out for their anniversary, 11-year anniversary.
You know, nothing for me changes with these two.
No.
I think Shane is Shane. He's trying to put on a better front for the cameras, maybe. But he is who he is.
I think he thinks he's funny. But to us, the viewers, it comes off as like, oh, God, give her something. When they were kind of being kind and nice to each other at dinner and she went in to give him a kiss and he like backs up. It's like, oh, God, Shane, please.
Well, he doesn't want to do that on camera.
But he has a camera on him. Just fake it. Even if you have to fake it.
That was a little uncomfortable. But that's why people don't like him. So then Kelly and Shannon come together. So they weren't talking at the beginning of the season.
Yeah. And Bronwyn brings them together.
Yeah. So there's a lot of talk during the entire episode about Bronwyn and, you know, oh, you're not drinking. Oh, you're not drinking. You know,
I'm just going to have water.
Which is
water.
Weird because we didn't know any of this.
I think this is the best kept fucking secret
ever
Bravo has ever done. The fact that they kept, it's almost been a year. I saw her put out chips. The picture, she has all her sober chips. It's been almost a year she's been sober, and none of us knew this.
Nobody knew.
So the fact that episode one, we are finding out that Bronwyn went to Miami for Kelly's birthday party. It was crazy shit show. We saw a little bit behind the scenes, but not really. But she admitted that she went on a binger.
Bender.
A 4-day bender. She was drunk the entire time. Even waking up in the morning, she would have the shakes. Oh, God. You take a shot to let go of the shakes, and then you keep going.
And we didn't know. So the ladies must have known last year when they were filming that this was going on, and they never talked about it.
What Shannon said was she always drank a lot, but you don't know. You know, people go home.
If it's a problem.
Plus, people go home.
Yeah, but did her husband not know?
Well, after this weekend, he was like, you got to go into rehab. And so she just stopped.
Yeah, but I really want to know what happened at that birthday party in Miami.
Are we going to see more footage? There was footage. It looked like she was just being herself, dancing, going
crazy.
Well,
it's no different than her being drunk with Tamara last year and all the other
stuff
that
went on. Listen, we all agree that she was over the top all the time, but it was highly entertaining.
It was
like
highly
sometimes when these ladies drink a lot, we don't want it to go too much where, you know, here she is like freaking going to lose her family sort of thing. When she was talking to Emily, and she admitted, I want to apologize to you. Because they had kind of their ups and downs last year.
Well, right. Emily is the one that called her out. So she was pushing Emily away because she didn't want to confront her problem. And Emily was very upfront about it. And so I'm glad that she had a conversation with Emily about it and apologized for it. Because Emily knew what was going on.
I think they all knew. But Emily's the only one that brought it to her attention.
Yeah.
When she said, I don't think I can drink anymore. She has how many kids? Seven?
Seven.
She has seven kids. She was pregnant a long period of time. She didn't drink or do anything while she was pregnant. She likes having somebody to take care of. She wants to feel connected to somebody. I mean, this has to do with obviously her past, with her mother. When she is finally not pregnant anymore, she just parties so much, so hard. There was such a long period of time that she didn't do any of this. So is this new?
Well, but she said it goes way back.
That's what I'm confused.
But then she was pregnant. She's been pregnant so often. I mean, she still has a baby.
Their daughter is
so
very young.
I don't know. I always feel like there's a reason. When you have seven kids, aside from religious reasons, right?
Yeah, but I don't think she's religious. I think it was fulfilling something in her that she never got from her upbringing,
her mom,
which is very
understandable.
She talks very openly about this. You're not going to have any more babies, so you got to fill that with something. So let me fill it with alcohol.
Filling
maybe
a void. Yeah,
filling a void. I mean, it doesn't surprise me, but it was quite shocking at the end of the episode when she was like, my name is Bronwyn and I'm an alcoholic.
I know that was
that
gave
was,
me the chills.
Wow. I think it was more like, wait, what did I miss? What the hell?
Because we're so used to finding stuff out before the season. I mean, look at Atlanta. Look at New Jersey.
Everybody
look
knows
at,
everything
you
going
know the
on.
Whole story for the whole entire season before it even shows, before
now,
it airs.
We didn't see anything with Bronwyn and her husband yet. So we don't know.
There's more to come out, I think.
Yeah, there's speculation now of what might be going on. Shannon didn't say anything. Now, we met somebody new. We didn't even talk about Elizabeth Vargas, the new housewife.
Yeah, what do you think about her?
I don't really know yet. She's a little...
She's kind of a tomboy.
I don't know.
Very rich. Very, very rich.
She's a rich bitch.
Well, her husband was a billionaire.
Yeah.
Or is a billionaire.
Ex-husband. Shannon says she's extremely outgoing. Shannon's very careful of what she says about anything right now.
Well, yeah,
we're at episode one. Also, I found out that Bronwyn talks to nobody from the season.
So it's supposed to have to do with the rest of the cast not approving of her life choices.
Ooh.
Is what I read. So
and
whether
what
or
are
not
those life choices?
Well, I don't know. We don't know. We don't know anything this season.
Interesting.
We don't know anything.
So, you know, something I wasn't excited for. Am I excited about it? It feels a little dark to be excited about watching somebody's journey through sobriety.
Yeah.
But I feel like this season could bring us something that's unexpected because everybody was dogging this season. Are they going to cut Kelly out a little more?
Yeah. So we don't know why it was postponed a week.
Maybe they will be cutting Kelly. This should be interesting. Also, I should mention that Kelly, after her wedding this last weekend, she's sick. She's on live Instagram. She's got a very bad cough.
It's not COVID. Was she tested?
She says she was tested and she's negative, but just saying. Yeah, she's sick. So let's talk Potomac.
My first favorite.
Now, you sent something that's been going around now that
we never saw this.
It was from season 1. Yeah, season 1.
Was it a first accusation or no accusation?
No accusation. Just footage came out that Michael in the background, Michael Darby, Ashley's husband, grabbed a producer, one of the staff, in the butt.
And he's flinching and moves out of the way. And it was very weird, but it was very clear what happened.
Very clear that Michael went around, grabbed the guy in the butt, like fully grabbed, squeezed. And Michael thought it was funny. And the guy was like shocked.
I don't know where that footage came from.
Why all of a sudden is it out here?
Yeah.
Somebody is leaking shit.
And what kind of guy freaking walks by another man and grabs his ass? A guy that you don't even...
Even slapping would be strange unless you're in the NFL.
Right. I thought it was
very
weird.
Very strange. We get a little background on Karen. She goes home for homecoming weekend. For high school homecoming parade.
I was a little embarrassed.
I know this was so sad.
Well, unless it's a really small town, but she was making a big deal out of this homecoming parade, and she was sitting in this car
with like dribbles of people on the side.
Just not many people.
No.
And were they screaming for her? I don't think so.
I don't know. I think
it was weird that Ray didn't go.
Oh God, Ray was like, "See you later, bye."
Yeah,
get in the car. Gotta go. Bye.
Yeah. Don't you have to leave now? He wants her out.
It was a little hard to watch.
It was sad. But who knew she had that big farm?
The family farm? I don't know. I don't know if this is picking up the bug zapper in the background, but it is going crazy. Ashley says in her confessional, this was kind of a weird little note. She goes, "I put a tracker on Michael's booty, slipped right in." Ew.
She knows exactly what's going on. She's closing a blind eye and she's letting it happen.
But the fact that she perpetuates this, put it in Michael's booty, what do you think that means? And it slipped right in.
What does that mean?
What is she perpetuating? Mm. She's perpetuating this rumor that Michael is intertwined with men? Possibly?
Robin and Candace. So they have a little meeting. They have a little tea or whatever it was. And Robin wastes no time telling Candace exactly what Monique said, that she had no remorse, blah, blah, blah.
Which is true. Monique has no remorse over the fight. None.
And Candace is still crying about it. She brings up the whole IRS lien against Robin. People, you make money. Pay your damn taxes.
Okay, but Robin and Juan had this huge thing, season 1, the big thing with Robin and Juan. They weren't together, but they were living together because Juan got screwed over by a business manager who spent all their money and then died.
Mm-hmm.
They had no recourse. All their money is gone.
They had to start from scratch.
They're making money. They're doing well. She's flipping houses. She doesn't pay $90,000 in taxes. She didn't know. Oh, Robin.
You don't have a tax person?
Oh, Robin.
Didn't she say she was doing it herself?
She's probably doing TurboTax
and she forgot to enter some sort of income.
Parents have money and they seem pretty savvy. No?
I bet it had to do with the house flipping stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Don't you think?
For sure. She was making all this money flipping houses. She showed it on TV and they're like, "Where's our frickin' money?"
Yeah.
She didn't declare any of it.
Problem number one, people, don't show all this shit.
Don't hide your money. She says she forgot about it. All right.
I'm sure she did.
Oh, one thing about Karen and her farm. The farm that her family owns is the farm that her generation were slaves on.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Crazy. Unbelievable, really.
And they all it's a working farm. Like,
yeah,
they still
like
live there.
Cousins, uncles, aunts, they're all there. So Monique... Okay, this is interesting too. She's still sticking with
She blacked out.
She goes, sad part about Candace is if it wasn't me, it would have been somebody else.
But you know what? Her pastor, okay, pastor, first lady, and she refers to her as first lady?
Yeah.
Is
that's
that
like freaking what's her name wants to be?
Giselle?
Giselle.
Is that how it works? You refer to them as hello, pastor and first lady?
Apparently.
Okay.
Yes.
So they come over and she meets with him and he didn't cut her any slack. I mean, he was pretty honest about the way she behaved.
She seems to admit a little bit of it, but he says something like, these women aren't impressed with you. Like, stop trying to be something you're not.
I know. I loved it. It was kind of stinging.
Too. I think she was trying to impress these ladies from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
They're over it. They don't care about what she has.
No, they're all over it.
Yeah.
And the pastor says that Candace didn't deserve it. And she said there was pressure building up inside and that she was stressed out, blah, blah, blah. So then she says she wants to apologize. And then Candace has a conversation with her mom. And her mom says, get the attorneys on it.
Slap a lawsuit on that thing.
Yep. And the apology didn't
happen. Will not happen. This is going to be crazy. So next week we'll find out exactly what the charges are, all that stuff.
Yeah. So we didn't see much of Monique this episode. So I'm wondering if we're going to see less and less of her this season.
I think we might. Because I think she'll choose to just back up. Which if
she
I was
should.
Her husband, I would say buck
up.
Back the fuck up. Or buck up. Back the fuck up means buck up. And step back. You don't want to be around these
if
ladies.
If I acted like that, do you think that my husband would
God.
Be as calm?
He'd be
so
like,
pissed
he
off at
say,
me.
He would say, who are you hanging around?
Yeah, what the hell is
who
wrong
are
with you?
You? Wendy, we didn't even talk about Wendy. Wendy and her sister.
I loved her sister.
I love her sister too, who's a freaking doctor. These ladies are highly accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy's a little concerned. She doesn't want to tell Mama that she wants to back away from teaching.
Her sister was so funny because they were role playing and
oh
she was
God.
Playing her mom.
And she was like, what are you doing? You're stupid. Amazing.
Loved
amazing.
It.
Speaking of amazing, we didn't talk about Amazing Race at all.
Oh, I know. I loved it.
Welcome back to Amazing Race. When's the last time you watched it?
I watched it last year.
Oh, you did?
I
thought
did.
You took some time
but
off.
But last year feels like it wasn't as good as this year
oh,
already.
This year, already starting out, one of our listeners messaged us that I don't hate any of these people.
No.
I like all of them. We want our kids to go on because there's a lot of brother-sister teams.
A lot of brother-sister teams.
It.
A lot of athletes.
Yes.
Best friends.
Fun.
The two girls that were in the Olympics.
Yes.
And the one girl's dyslexic. I felt so bad because the two challenges were number oriented.
Yeah.
And numbers are the worst.
And you don't really know what the challenge is. They read it. You mm-hmm. pick the person, you're off. So you don't really know what it's going to be. You hope you know. You got to stop and think for a minute. They need to like take a little more time.
I thought the steel drum, you and I would kill it. I think
oh,
we
Gina?
Would totally
oh my God.
Kill it.
I had this big fight with my husband over this. He's like, I can do the drums. I go, no. You have no beat. I could totally do that. I can do numbers. I could do beat. I love the two Asian couples, and they both played the piano, and the girl's like, I'm going to kill it. She was horrible.
She was,
it was
horrible.
Amazing. And then the guy did it well. I think these teams are going to be so fun to watch. I'm super excited. There's a father-son team. I can't wait. I'm super excited. Plus, this is before COVID, so it seems so free. This is our travel. This is our travel.
It made me want to go to Trinidad and Tobago.
Trinidad and Tobago.
I was loving it.
They're off to Colombia, and they're going to the city that my son was going to go work at before COVID hit. The exact same city.
Is he watching?
He is watching.
Yeah, it was really, really fun.
Super
really fun.
Speaking of travel and not so much on Below Deck.
The last day of charter.
Yeah. The
I
season,
think Rob,
what a shit show.
It's a total shit show. Rob is so exhausted dealing with Jess.
Done. He's
Jess
done.
Is such a pain in the ass.
Jess is exhausting.
She's exhausting me and I'm only watching.
God. She just doesn't see how she's coming off. She thinks she's being the cool chick. And then I feel bad for her because then she almost grovels. When he doesn't bite at her being sad and not talking to him, and he doesn't bite, and she's like, what's going on? Do you hate me? Oh, so
she's,
hard to watch.
She's very, very immature.
Also, Captain Sandy giving away like awards at the end. What is this? The little sport team that you're giving participatory awards to?
Well, I know. And did she say Jess was a 2?
Well, no, Gina. It was a scale that we don't know about. Some kind of a scale that's a yachting scale.
Well, some were like a 9 or like an 8 or 9.
No, those
and
don't
she
exist.
Was like a 2.
No, It was
some maritime scale that we don't know about.
It was a maritime scale. It didn't sound good no matter what.
She was still a two.
And by the way, they all go to dinner and, oh, there's Pete. Oh, I forgot about you, Pete. There you are.
Pete
was there. Hi, Pete.
Is Pete part of this crew? I'm not sure.
And I might say Tom could be a shitty person to work with. He could be a pain in the ass chef. But Tom is a fun guy to go out with. He has a good time.
He has a good time. He's a cheater, but he's...
I don't care. It makes him a little more sexy. Cheating on Malia makes you sexy. Malia, she was wasted before they even went out. These ladies were so drunk. When they were trying to talk to Jess after they all went out, after the charter was all over with, they were talking to Jess in the car and they were wasted. Half their eyes were closed trying to talk to her.
They were totally
so
toasted.
So what about the charter guests out at the bar afterwards?
Okay, well, Jess and Rob had some weird agreement because they were ping-ponging back and forth all night. So they decided, you know, they were just going to be single.
No, no, no. They did not decide that at all. Jess,
Rob decided.
No, no, no. Jess was trying to be funny, like, well, why don't we just go out and be single tonight? So then Rob takes that and tells everybody, well, she wants to be single tonight. So then he's single. And
well, yeah, he was totally single.
The married Asian woman.
And he was attracted to her from the beginning because he was flirting with her the whole time.
For sure. But she didn't bite. She is married. She knows she's being filmed. She was very cool, calm, and collected. She didn't give in.
She didn't give in, no. But she was a little bit flirty.
That would have been interesting.
That would have
if
been.
She did give in.
Rob is a funny dude.
Did you see the picture of Rob from years ago of him and Taylor Swift?
No.
He's like a real model. I don't know if it was a video, but it was a picture of him and Taylor Swift. I will put it in our stories because I kept it. Because I was like, oh, hello, Rob. He can
really?
Model. Because maybe a weird dude,
know,
but
I don't
he
look
looks
at him and
good
go,
in pictures. I'll put it on our stories.
So Rob said he was going to do the crossing, whatever the hell that is, and then later changes his mind. So we didn't know at the end. We didn't know if he was going to Bali or not.
Well, they showed a picture and said.
They went to Bali.
They went to Bali.
I must have missed that part.
So I guess next week is the reunion, which should be very interesting because we know that in the reunion, Malia and Tom are still together.
Oh, at the reunion they are.
Reunion,
but
yeah,
they're not now.
No.
Interesting.
Overall season was kind of
fair.
So many. I forgot that Hannah was even there. I forgot she's going to come back at the reunion. Apparently they show that Hannah kind of at the reunion had more pot. Oh my God. She had marijuana on board. We'll see.
Who cares?
Who cares?
Nobody cares.
Nope.
This season is so long that
it
you're right.
So
I do forget what happened in the
so
beginning.
So much happened at the beginning. I'm not impressed with Captain Sandy though.
No.
Can do without
I mean,
her.
I think she means well, bless her heart, but I don't love her. I'm ready for Captain Lee to come back.
Me too. And he is.
In an all new crew.
Soon. 90 Day the Other Way started up again.
I know. I was happy to see this back.
Me too. Didn't get a lot.
No.
I mean,
ever?
It was like so little. Can we have like 10 minutes more with each couple? That's it.
Well, they don't tell you much.
Nothing.
I mean, they kind of just pick up the story, but then they give you little breadcrumbs, but they don't expand on anything.
You know what's going to happen? This is going to go on forever. We had Jenny and Sumit. He does go to talk to his parents. That was actually a very sweet moment with him and his parents.
He got a little angry.
He did, but fuck Sumit. His parents gave him $20,000 to help with his divorce. But I think why he's angry is that the parents talked him into getting married to his ex-wife.
Yeah, he didn't want to do it to begin with.
And he said to them, I love Jenny.
I love Jenny.
And they didn't like it because Jenny's so much older. Yeah, I mean, there was some crying going on with him and his mom. That seemed real. That seemed sad.
Well,
they're
depressed.
They're never going to get a grandchild.
No, we watched Indian Matchmaking and we know how big a deal it is for him to marry someone who's accepted by his family, which isn't going to happen.
And to have kids.
But I don't think Jenny and Sumit are ever going to get married.
Ooh, I don't know if they'll ever get married, but I believe Jenny's still there and they're in love.
You think she's still there?
Yeah,
all right.
I do. Brittany and Azan, they did not go over too much other than Brittany came home to handle some legal matters with her marriage and the divorce didn't happen.
No, and the whole thing was weird because she had this like perpetual smile on her face the whole entire time. And I thought, what are you smiling about? I mean,
it's
it
just
was weird.
Awkward. Is she going back there? They pretend like she does.
I think she is going back.
It's weird. These two, I don't think they're together anymore.
No.
So I think it's kind of an odd thing. And Kenny and Armando, yes, we got more.
Finally,
they get home. But ooh,
that was heartbreaking.
It was heartbreaking. His mom was trying so hard. She loves her son. This is just new to her.
I think it was a lot to have the whole entire family there for the first time that they're meeting. Like, you have to ease into it.
And then to tell them all that they're engaged.
That they're engaged, yeah, on top of it.
It was a little much.
They should have, you know, and the mom was embarrassed because her sister was there. They should have just talked to the parents first and maybe the sister.
Yeah, talk to mom, tell her privately they're engaged.
And the dad just, it's just not acceptable in their culture.
I don't know if people realize what a big deal that probably actually is.
Yeah.
Not only did the dad come out to say hello to meet Kenny, but the fact that he came out with cameras, acknowledged his son and the boyfriend, this is rough. This is hard. This is all new.
For sure.
So I hope that people aren't, I haven't seen much, but I hope people aren't being too angry and mean about that.
No, you have to understand it's a completely different country, different culture, different way of being raised. It's just, it's all new territory.
But then when they tell Hannah, that was so sweet. Hannah's like, okay, I love you guys. I'm so happy with
She's
both of you.
Such a well-adjusted kid.
That just shows you. Kids, they don't care.
They don't care.
Kids love love.
Yep.
But what about Ariella and Binyam? Ooh, this was quite shocking.
You mean the fact that she had to have an emergency C-section?
Yeah, it was like they went in, let's have you checked. Oh, it's breech. Okay, well, what are we going to do? You're probably going to have to C-section. The doctor goes, okay, we're going to admit you today. You're having the baby today. She freaks the F out.
Well, yeah, wouldn't you? Her mom's not there.
But she's such a child,
Gina. She is a child.
I can't get over what a baby she is. You can freak out, but you also chose to go here to have your baby, to be with the guy that is the father of your child. She acted like just like a little infant. Like, I want my mommy.
Because
well,
it's a third world country. She knew exactly what she was getting into. Thank God they found a better apartment. But they have no baby supplies.
No.
They have nothing.
And it's really expensive.
It's very expensive.
Weren't you shocked at how the prices of things because of
the car
things are super expensive? $17,000 for a piece of shit car.
Like a 2008 something car. Well, because they're landlocked, Dan.
They're landlocked. That was the reason. They're landlocked.
They're landlocked. What does that mean?
They can't bring cars over
on
a boat?
Yeah. What do you mean you're landlocked?
That was scary for her. I get the scariness of you're going to have the baby today. The shock of it. You're an adult and you chose this.
Yeah, you chose it. You knew exactly what you were getting into. What do you think is going to happen?
She does have the baby there, which is freaking nuts.
Well, she's freaking out about having a C-section because they have to cut her open, which I would too in a country like that.
Absolutely. Well, because the amniotic fluid, right? It's very
little.
She doesn't
have any.
She doesn't have any. Oh, my God. And then Tim and Maylisa, this did not go anywhere. He's going for a job interview.
Well, we find out that Maylisa had a little fling on the side, too, which she's got such a sour
But they were broken up. So it didn't,
they were broken
it was like,
up.
Whatever.
You know.
Making a story out of nothing.
Exactly.
Should we move on to Married at First Sight?
Yeah,
Nola.
No, this was good.
Ooh, this is always
good.
So it's couples weekend, couples retreat.
Yeah, so they're like, normally the whole process is about 2 months. This has been 4 months.
They're like,
what
the fuck did we get into? Now, if you're a happy couple, it's great. But if you're not, like Olivia and Brett.
Well, see, now I feel like it needs to be longer. They need to make
First
this...
off, we didn't see Brett at all.
No, Brett is gone.
Just
he packed
Olivia.
Up his pantry
is
and
home.
He is gone.
Olivia was at her apartment. Amani came, helped her move out. No couples retreat for them. They're done.
For
That's
now.
It. And then Brett messages Olivia and tells her she can date now if she wants. Thank you, Brett. Thank you for letting me know. In other terms, Brett's dating.
But then he wants to also hang out. So that was weird.
Well, because Brett's an idiot. Brett's like, okay, we split. We're amicable. Let's hang out. Bennett and Amelia, I don't even know where to go here. They were in Virginia. She got her residency there. They picked out places. When they all go to this camping site, what is this place? How would you describe it? It's kind of glamping, for sure.
Yeah,
they all have their cabins. It's cute. They get together for meals, and he tells everybody when they're all kind of talking, he's like, oh, by the way, me and Amelia have had sex. Thank you, Bennett.
He drops the bomb just like that.
What do you think about them? Because I put out a picture today that was from the scene. They're laying in bed. He's singing her to sleep. They have like a whole plate of like
food
on the bed.
What was that?
I don't know. And then they showed a picture of her waking up and she's got the book on her head. Is this all just for show?
I'm feeling a little bit put on by it.
That. Yeah. Because I really like them.
I bet they're taking it a little to the extreme.
It's too far. It's too far. And when he starts to do, he's in his nightgown and starts to do the worm thing and he's like grunting and making these weird noises. It just seemed a little too far.
It's too much.
Like they have nothing going on. So let's.
I think that's it. They really don't have anything going on.
Okay. That's what I thought too. Let's go to Karen and Miles. Here's what's hard about this. The time that this retreat is happening is during the social injustice. It's during the pandemic. It's during the protests.
Mm-hmm.
And they're required to go off and do this retreat for the show. He's having a hard time. Karen doesn't want to go. She's having a lot of anxiety. She's feeling a certain way.
I totally get it. But I feel like Karen wouldn't be thrilled to go anyway.
No, Karen didn't want to go anyway.
No. So Miles tells the guys that there's still a lot to figure out and he's not 100% sure what he's going to do on decision day.
No. He's like, it's very hard to make a decision with somebody who for 4 months they have not been intimate in no way whatsoever. We're talking kissing, holding hands, nothing.
Well, and she doesn't initiate anything.
Nothing.
He feels like something is missing in their relationship. Which clearly
a lot
is
missing. So I honestly don't know if these two will be able to figure it out. She can't get over the fact that he's very open and honest about things.
Well, yeah. And the things that she likes about him are so small.
It's
like they're just little tidbits of things that she likes about him. And it's not enough to hold a relationship.
No. And then Woody and Monty, there's literally nothing to say about them. They get along so well.
Yeah.
I love Woody talking to Henry. I think it's a very cool.
I love their conversation.
Henry doesn't open up to a lot of people, and it feels like he opens up to Woody. And Woody's like, "What the fuck, Henry? What the hell is going on?"
But he did say he did, and Imani said it too. Like Henry and Christina both, they say a lot, but they really don't say.
They don't say anything. Well, not to each other either. Christina's the one who talks in circles. Henry tries.
He tries to be politically correct in what he says without trying to
in front of her
bash.
He doesn't want to embarrass her too much, but he's so thrown and disgusted by her acting like nothing's going on. It is.
Right.
It was a little hard to watch.
Yeah, it's very cringy.
And when they get to the cabins, she's like, "Ooh, I don't know about this one." I'm like, "Bitch, you live in your car."
Right.
These cabins are amazing.
Well, and then they show that clip 11 weeks before Christina admitted that she previously was a big flamboyant liar, she said.
Yeah, it's so great when they go back and they pull these little scenes. And then Henry gets a text from her that says, you know, my friend said you messaged him and you were in a relationship, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but I can't find the message because he asked for it.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you ever say is that something that you're proud of? I was a big flamboyant liar.
Here's the thing with Christina. I think she started out trying to like start from zero, be honest and go into this clear. But Christina doesn't know how to do that. And then when Henry showed no interest, she was embarrassed. And the only reason to get out of it and the only way to get out of it is to lie about things and say that Henry's gay. She doesn't believe it, Gina. She doesn't believe it. But other people have told her that he might be.
Well, that's her defense mechanism to say, well, he's gay. That's why he doesn't like me.
And she's telling the other girls, you know, the communication is just really off. Christina, it's not off. You're a liar. He called you on it. You didn't talk about it. You act like nothing's going on. She's got some stuff going on.
She's got a lot of stuff going on. I want to know her backstory.
Oh, yeah. And the other thing is I heard she never appears on the Jamie Otis show beforehand.
Oh.
She won't go on.
We'll see. Yeah. There's some skeletons in that closet.
Something going on. So Love After Lockup was back.
It was back.
You didn't bring your notes. You didn't take notes.
I know. I think I watched part of it, but
you know what? They
we'll
literally just touched on people. We had Maurice and Jessica. Do you remember who they were? They were the couple that she's in Vegas. He's in LA. He was trying to get his transfer of documents. Anyway, he got them. He got a travel pass. So he can live in Vegas, but every month he has to go back to LA and
check
in.
That's a lot. Every month?
Every month. For right now. Probably till the whole thing settles and he gets transferred.
Yeah.
But then she finds out she's pregnant, which we already knew. She already had a baby.
She had a baby in April, I think.
Felt very fake, the whole lead up to her taking the pregnancy test and all that.
Peeing on the stick.
Yeah. Very filmed. Destiny and Sean. Now, if you recall, they left off where she was really pissed that he was getting calls from his ex, the mother of his children.
Yes.
She hit him. at the car.
Yeah.
So he had like a bloody lip. He goes into work and he tells his friend, the boss, like, oh my gosh, he hit me, blah, blah, blah. And the guy's like, oh my God, what is your problem? Like, why are you sticking around for this?
What are you doing?
So stupid.
Well, now he's worried about his $50,000. That's the thing.
Sure. That's what he said. He said, you know, she's got to go back to Sacramento. And if she doesn't, you know, I got to pay $50,000.
He caught himself.
Listen, she's not going anywhere. She has nowhere to go. She has no money. It will be fine. I don't know what he's worried about.
She has no money until she steals all of his.
And then Lindsay and Scott. So she has an ankle monitor. She can't leave the house for 2 weeks because of the coronavirus. So the daughter comes over.
Oh, that was sad.
And looking at her through the window and the glass door and everything. She comes across like she's this great mom.
Mm-mm.
I'm sorry, Lindsay. You're not a great fucking mom.
No.
You choose drugs over your daughter. All she wants is your love and attention and affection. And you're only giving it to her now because you're stuck there in this little place for 2 weeks with the ankle monitor.
Yeah, that's a very sad, because her little girl seems like she's a really, really sweet little girl.
Oh, she just wants her mom. She wants love. And it's so sad. This is going to be a sad story. I don't like it. I don't like what I think I know about Lindsay. I don't think she's on the up and up.
I don't either, 100%. But Scott seems like a decent guy.
Decent enough. They're in separate bedrooms.
Well, yeah, because he tends to lie a little bit about...
Definitely lies.
I want to know
bit.
Where that decorator went.
Yeah, yeah.
What happened to
her? She's like, your room will be ready eventually. We'll get it ready. And then Quaylon and Chevelle, she takes him to her pastor, who also works with ex-cons. Chevelle runs a little in this circle, I think.
Yeah.
She's not so innocent. She's got the sweetest little girl. Thank God this pastor is very understanding with Quaylon. And says, how do you feel about all this? You've been in there for 12 years. You were 17. You come out now. And he's like, yeah, she expects a lot from me. She wants to get married, have kids. But guess what? It's because you've been telling her that this whole time that she expects it.
They need an adjustment period.
Definitely. But, you know, I don't blame either of them. He has a right to like, okay, let me get settled out here. But he's been promising her so much. That's what they do. They have nothing inside. They promise everything outside.
Don't they watch these shows before they go on? Jeez.
They need to give us a call.
And what about, what's her name?
That was living with their aunt. Shonda. Yeah.
Okay. Tyrese is
hot.
Hot.
Not only hot. He's so sweet.
He seems like a nice guy.
Listen, he had drug issues. We get it. Wait.
He's a beautiful man.
Wait, I'm sorry.
That's not Tyrese.
No, you're right. Tyrese and Shonda.
Tyrese is the older guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're talking about Dylan and Heather.
Dylan and Heather.
Okay. Oh. Dylan and Heather.
Dylan.
Just the name alone. Dylan. He had his drug issues. I think he could stay clean. Heather is a fucking mess. Crazy.
Okay, she seems like she may have an issue with drugs.
I totally agree with that.
She
looks
whack.
So sorry for this Aunt Diane. Aunt Diane has got to be her great aunt.
Well, Aunt Diane has got oxygen. She's got all kinds of prescription meds on the table. She's not healthy.
No. And Dylan is being so nice to her, saying, thank you, Aunt Diane, for letting us stay here. By the way, that's his parole address, so they have to be there. Apparently, Heather's place got flooded. I call bullshit on
what
that.
What place?
So they're staying with Aunt Diane. He's trying to be nice, and Heather's like, can I have my man for a minute, Aunt Diane? Oh, my God.
Well, all
God.
She wants to do is have sex with him.
He does not want to have sex with her. He's also being very nice to her. He doesn't have to be. He's being very patient with Heather. She's fucking crazy.
Well,
I hope he leaves her. Listen, he's trying to be nice because he met her on the outside beforehand. She's been there the whole time. She's changed a lot. Look at the pictures.
She's changed a lot for sure. And she tattooed his name in two different places.
Yeah.
On her body. He said when he got out, it's a little strange.
Yeah. He's scared. He should be.
She's a whack.
He should be scared. Poor Aunt Diane. She's going to have a heart attack.
Why would you bring a guy? Well, first of all, I can't understand why she's living there, because clearly she's got issues aside from Dylan
coming home. Aunt Diane was afraid of her. She's like, I'm not going to put up with her shit anymore. Okay.
This is not
a first thing that Heather has shown.
No. Heather needs to go.
Heather needs Heather to go needs because to go. Dylan, you are too hot.
Dylan
could
be a model.
I think he did some
a hot prisoner.
Okay, then Shonda and Tyrese. Shonda is gone.
She has wants not nothing to do with Tyrese
in 2 months.
And Tyrese is still hanging on.
Oh, still like, oh, I think she may have lost my number. It'll be okay. Everything will be fine. It's a good reason she hasn't called.
This is so funny.
She's out. Shonda, that was a very smart move. Tyrese is fucking creepy.
He is creepy. He's very creepy. And she knows it.
I'm actually kind of happy this show's back.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. It took a little hiatus too.
Yeah.
So
we all need a hiatus from some.
We need
of these
a break.
Shows,
and
that
we need
one
a break.
In particular. So that's it.
That's it. We're done. We're done for the week.
We're even putting this out a day early because there's nothing on tonight, which is Thursday night.
I know.
Nothing.
It's crazy. When does the next new show start?
You mean new premiere? We
the
had
new
two
premiere.
This week. Oh, which one?
It's well, Southern Charm. Southern Charm's not until the 29th of October, and then we get into Below Deck. And oh, you know what's starting back up next month too, Anne, is Welcome to Platteville.
Oh, Gina. The hot young son who's the model.
I loved that show.
Oh my God, that was a shit show. But
it was a shit show.
I may pick it up and watch.
I mean, there's nothing else on, Anne. Why not?
Welcome to Platteville.
But yeah, so we have 2 weeks until Southern Charm.
But with The Bachelorette, with OC, which I wasn't totally excited about, but I'm totally in now.
Me too.
Maybe it's for lack of content. I don't know.
We're limited in what we have.
Hey, limited or not, we would be watching it. This we are true. Here. We are here for you. We will talk about it
we
all.
We cover it all. We cover it all.
Don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, please, if you haven't done so. Also, after this, we had an interview with Mikey from MAFS Australia. Mikey was the one who was matched with Natasha, who we had on a couple weeks ago. He claimed, which I believe, I think everybody believes, that he slept with Stacey. Of Stacey and Michael. He talks about it. We get all the tea. So stay tuned for that interview. It was good.
It was really good. I think that's going to be our last Married at First Sight Australia
interview. Our last MAFS interview.
Yeah.
I believe
close
so.
That chapter, but it was a good season.
It's a good one and it's a good interview. So take a listen to Mikey from MAFS Australia. We'd like to welcome to the Dames Who Dish podcast, Mikey from MAFS Australia.
Thanks, ladies. Thanks for having me.
We are thrilled to have you because we really want to get your perspective. We've just finished the entire season that you were on here in the United States. I'm sure you are absolutely sick of it. It's what, been a year for you?
Yeah, over a year. I mean, this time last year, we'd finished, I think we, not the reunion, obviously, but we'd finished the main bulk of filming and we had already parted ways. So yeah, it was all done. I was back at work, back into this position right now.
Yeah, we see you at work. You actually have a legitimate job, it looks like.
What do you do exactly?
My family own a few. We own a few aged care facilities, and I just help run operations out here. So there's two facilities right next to each other. So I'm operations manager.
You're not a professional dancer?
No. Oh, I mean, that's a bit of fun. I don't get me wrong. I like to have a dance. Don't get paid for it. So definitely not professional.
Well, and
don't
take I'm part. Sure you could get paid for it. You just choose not to.
So now you get to relive this all again.
So we're going to take you back a little bit. We're not going to go too deep, but we just want to get your feelings. Of course, you know, we had Natasha on a couple weeks ago, got her side. She actually, I thought she was pretty respectful.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. I feel like you guys had actually a pretty good relationship. I think it was just more friendly than anything else. That's kind of the vibe we got here.
Look, I think the biggest thing with me, Natasha, I think she really thought that we were going to match her with someone that she was going to align with. So she went in there, you know, really open-eyed and really thought, you know, and gave it the show the benefit of the doubt and thought this was going to work out. And I suppose I did as well. It's just that we weren't compatible in terms of a intimate relationship. And when you're with someone that you are in this experiment with and you sort of know straight off the back, well, this is not someone that I would be in, like, you know, be in a relationship with more than just friends. And you're supposed to be trying at it all the time and they put you in uncomfortable positions. And it was just very confronting. And I guess that it began to get frustrating because it wasn't happening and they were trying to make it work. And it's like, well, I've already come this far. What do I do? And then, you know, And then when you're not, like in any relationship, when you're not the best, you don't usually make the best decision. Say someone pisses you off and you say things, and you in real life, you get the chance to go, but I'll take some time out and come back and say, look, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. But you don't get to do that in this. They want that. They want to make it uncomfortable. They want to hear a screaming match. They want confrontation. So in real life, me and Natasha probably would have no issues becoming friends or getting on, because we're not, we wouldn't be stuck in a room expected to get, you know, to get on. And people go, well, that's what you signed up for when you went on the show. I'm like, well, I did, but I also signed up the show and gave them a full outline of someone that I might be compatible with. And a lot of those things were completely opposite to what Natasha was. And I'm sure it's the same with her. On when she was on the podcast, I heard that she thinks, she said, and you're right, she was respectful. I think there was just one thing about me being childish and immature. And I mean, it's probably how you interpret that as well. But and considering she dated guys a lot older. So I can understand that while she said that. So why would they put her with a, you know, with a lot younger guy if that's, if she's not going to align with, she obviously aligns with older men. Yeah, it was just frustrating. And then I suppose, I don't know, I'm one of those people that I reckon, you know, if, and I say this on the show, like if I don't feel spark, I've always felt a spark in my relationships that I've been in. And I guess if there's no that spark at the start, it's really hard to work at it. I mean, it's really hard to work at it when you naturally find someone that you love and then you eventually, you know, relationships are hard work. You eventually start to struggle, but then you think about all the good things. And obviously it's a lot easier when you have mortgages and kids to think, okay, maybe we should stay together. If you don't have any of that, you didn't have a spark, I mean, why on earth are you going to sit there and work? You've got one life. Why are you going to sit there and work with one person when there's literally millions out there? So there's numerous reasons why it ranked so high. There's numerous reasons why we didn't work out.
Well, it was intentional, obviously. They paired you with people, and everybody that we've interviewed kind of said the same thing. There couldn't be a more opposite person than the person that they were matched with. And so clearly it was an intentional thing to cause drama and whatever it caused on the show.
I mean, you were only there for what, 3 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, it was so frustrating because I can't tell, at the start they do the background and who you are, and like I think I'm a, and my, and I, it's pretty confirmed with my friends and family, and even on my Instagram channel now, when everyone's like, oh my god, who is this person we saw on Maths? But they were like, you know, you're pretty happy, go lucky, hardworking, fun, you know, outdoorsy, sporty, you know, likes to have fun kind of guy. You know, that's what I am. And at the start of the show, you see that. Like, I'm not usually ever down. I'm pretty positive. You can see me taking the piss out of myself, dancing, etc. But the show doesn't allow. They don't really want to show that. They want to show drama. And you put anyone in. You might think you're that, like everyone thinks you're a certain way, but you make someone really uncomfortable, they're not going to act that way. And they decide, obviously, to go down that awkward, sort of quiet. I mean, it's not the worst. It's not the worst read they could have done. I mean, I could have been seen a lot worse, but it's just sort of not who I was. So I sort of sit back now and look back and just go, God, for 3 weeks of filming, they really concentrated on this sort of persona that they wanted to show, which I don't really think's me, but I sort of knew that was the risk with going on the show.
I think you actually came off looking pretty good. They kind of made Natasha the villain, and I think they made you seem more sympathetic, empathetic towards her, because she really had a hard time in there.
Yeah, look, I won't talk much about her sort of personal issues that she was going through, because she was going through a lot. She'll talk about that. But one thing they really need to do, and I don't understand this, and this is a more broader topic, but it does relate straightly to Natasha as well, is they cast members on this TV show, and there needs to be some sort of screening process, a proper screening process, like you do with a job, like you do with anything. You hand in a resume, or, you know, you do a bit of background knowledge about who these people are. Like, certain people lied about what they did, what they do for a living, you know, what unis they went to, all this. It was just fudged backgrounds, but that's not really the big thing. I mean, that is a bit annoying when you spend time with someone and they're lying to you, but and that didn't happen to me, that happened to other people. But the biggest thing is they need to screen for mental health and how strong you are. I mean, you're about to be in front of millions. If you think about a stadium, right, we have our biggest crowds we get before COVID was like 80,000. I remember going to the grand final this time last year for us in our NRL and thinking, that's like 60, 70, 80,000 people. That's so big. Now, you think about a million people, how many stadiums are that? So you're exposed to all these people, and people start to live vicariously through you. And you've got to be ready, and it's hard to depict about who's ready for it or not, but there's sort of needs to be put more emphasis on whether people can deal with that or not. A lot of the girls, and I'm not saying that the guys don't, but a lot of the girls, especially after the show, came out damaged, really, really damaged, if not all of them. And a lot of guys did as well because they couldn't cope. And I don't blame them. They couldn't, and they don't need to cope with it. Cope with all the backlash and people saying things. And then obviously the show edits you in a certain way. And you know, they really struggled, and it's a lot to deal with, especially when you're waking up every day and you might be feeling bad about yourself at all. Then you're hearing people call you certain words, body images, stuff. And it's a lot. So the only thing I would say doing that is, like, if you're fine with that and you're actually fine with that, that's cool. Go on it, right? And I think I did pretty well. Like, it doesn't really bother me. And as you said, my edit was better, but with all the Stacey stuff at the end, I can tell you so much. I had to move out of my apartment for death threats. What? Channel 9 moved me out, so I had to move out to the city. So, especially because I wouldn't stop saying it. I was like, I'm adamant. I went and did a lie detector test, for God's sake. So, you know, you do. There's a lot of stuff that comes with it, and you just got to really be prepared. But you got to just take it with a grain of salt. It is what it is, and I did that.
Well, every single person that we've talked to said the same thing, that they had no idea how screwed up they were going to be at the end of this experiment. And Drew, especially, he went in. He said he was in the most stable mental state that he thought he was ever in his life, yeah. And it even affected him, and he didn't think it could break him, but it came close to breaking him. So I don't know what they did to you guys in there, but oh my God, it must have been unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, it's so much like that. I mean, I tell you what, I probably, even though I'm saying I'm fine and everything's good, but I still have serious moments of insecurities and, you know, doing things I wouldn't really do and worrying about things that used to never worry me. And then before you post on your Instagram or your Facebook, you're double checking, triple checking yourself, and just things that you don't align with. But I do agree with Drew. It throws you, because when the cameras are there, you start to sort of forget it a bit. And then when you watch it back, you're like, shit. Some of the things that you would say to your friends, for example, you know, behind closed doors, you don't necessarily want to go to the public, but you just, you got to remember that. When you got to remember, and people go on the show, and the producers and directors are like, no, just be yourself. It's like, yeah, I'll be myself, but there's also a polished version of myself that I want millions of people to see, rather than me saying something when I'm really angry out of spite that everyone's going to remember you for. And that happens as well. So I can concur with Drew. Like, I know what that was like. And, you know, I probably had one of my lowest times as well after the show, most definitely.
So you were there for about 3 weeks. In that 3 weeks, something happened. You say, because Stacey says no, you hooked up with Stacey at one point, and you were very open about this. You just said you took a lie detector test because you're like, why would I lie? I was totally gone. You didn't even need to come back and say anything. What was the reason? Were you just like, screw this? You guys are bugging the hell out of me. You're acting like you're this perfect couple.
This is what everyone doesn't understand. I can't understand how people don't see the dots, and it'll make perfect sense to you. So after the show, me and Natasha obviously knew well before, as we said, that we weren't going to align, right? And it was never my intention to go and sleep with someone else on the show. But as I just said, the show does crazy things to you. And by the end of it, when I moved out from Natasha, she was struggling a bit. And so I completely did the wrong thing by going out, going to get drunk, dealing with it that way. Fuck the show. Stuff the show, sorry. You know, stuff everyone else. This has been a screw up. Producers did this to me. I'll go out and deal with it the way I did it. And that way was drinking with some of the boys and then making a dumb decision. That was all that was into it. There was no follow up. There was no potential wife swapping. It was done behind the cameras. If I wanted to make a scene of it or get publicity, I would have done it on the cameras, or I would have lied to stay on the show. I put leave up after one experiment. Anyway, so that happened. Me and Stacey made the decision not to say anything about it. And I went off the show. It was all done. Now, I told that night, I was in Yvonne and Alex's room, which was next to Stacey's room, and they sort of knew what was happening, right? I was sort of using Snapchat with Stacey and Yvonne, who was my closest on the show. I was obviously going to confine with him about it. So they were sort of knew what was going to do. The next morning, I sort of told Yvonne. I said, please don't tell anyone else. It's just ruined. And he was with Alex, and that was it. No one knew. Anyway, Alex ended up getting in a fight with another girl. And of course, when her relationship didn't happen, she told all the girls. And that was in the group chat. So even before I admitted it, Natasha found out. So once I knew Natasha knew, this is in the period between when we left the show and reunion, I said, now that you know, look, I didn't want you to know, because if you didn't know, we weren't together. Obviously, we didn't know it working out. Wouldn't have been the nicest thing for you to know anyway. But now that you know, it's the right thing for me to come clean. I'm not going to lie. One thing is not telling the truth. Another thing is to lie. They're completely different things. And I said, I did the wrong thing. This is what happened. She was livid. She was angry. She's like, I'm going to expose you and all that kind of stuff. I was like, well, I probably won't even come back for the reunion. It'll just be drama. I don't need it. I was in Italy. And so that's what's happened. The girls knew then. So they knew through Alex, not through me. I didn't come and expose it. She did. I was happy to leave it under the carpet. I would have had a big laugh at the reunion seeing her confess her love and stuff. And I'm sitting there going, and so I had no problems doing that. But then all the girls found out, and then the producers found out. So I was in Italy and I was like, oh, look, I don't really want to come back to this. And they're like, no, obviously it's going to rate well. And then Natasha said, I think, because she was having a fight with Stacey, obviously you saw the dinner party. And she said, I think the right thing to do is to come back. You're going to look really weak if you don't and own up. Otherwise, it's going to be as he said, she said. So I thought, you know what, it probably is to just go back and read. And to be honest, I didn't really like Michael in the show, so I had no problems. And at that stage, he had moved out of her room because he'd kissed someone else. And he's a shitster himself, so I had no problems.
Oh, yeah.
I had no problems playing that card. And then, so I came back, said it. It was really awkward at the time because I'm like, she just was so adamant that it didn't happen. And I was like, are you off your head?
It was so hard to watch the denial.
Giving me the devil eyes and stuff. And like, anyway, so that's why I came back. Everyone's like, well, why'd you come back, sweep it on the rug? I'm like, you guys don't see on the show that all of them already knew. It wasn't like I came back and decided to ruin a good marriage. I was more than happy to do it. But.
Well, what's funny was she kind of admitted it in a way because she said, it didn't happen, but if it did, Michael and I weren't together at that time anyway.
Yeah.
So I took
that. She was justifying it.
Exactly. So I took that to mean, all right, Stacey, you fucking did it, right?
Yeah.
But still denies it.
Yeah, I know. I wish I didn't do it, but like, and then when I got
we're happy you did.
This guy. Oh,
wait, do you mean do it or you mean say it?
No. I regret it. Honestly. When I say regret, I learned a lot from it. It's just, I could have just dealt with things better. But then, I mean, that's someone being true in real life. You know, when things don't work out, sometimes you go out and have a few drinks and you wake up. I think that's pretty honest to be there. Like I kept saying on the show, and Natasha was right when she said about the 10-second thing. I didn't really give a fuck about that. Sorry, I didn't really give a shit about that stuff. I mean, and I kept saying on the show, and I kept saying, like, guys, any guy out there, in his right mind, who's honest, will say that when they have intercourse or when they have sex, there's times that they will say that's great. There'll be times that, you know, you can't get it up. There'll be times that it's like doesn't last long. Like you've got so many experiences if you're going to be honest, where things just don't go to plan and other things go to plan, you know? And so I've got I don't care. A lot of, if people are going to be honest, then they're going to relate to that. If they're not, then I don't, like, it doesn't bother me at all. So that didn't bother me. What bothered me was that she said it to the way that Michael said it. I don't know who, like, what actually went down, but the way they made it out was that she would go back and say that to people, especially when me and her weren't good. And I was like, oh, you know, and they all came around me and they didn't show this. And they're all like, well, she was saying this and she was saying that and she was saying this. It wasn't just those things. And I was just like, fuck this. Like, I don't even get on with this person, let alone stay around for this shit. This is done. It was not the 10-second thing. It was a bunch of everything.
Bunch
and then,
of others,
you know, they were saying things. She's aware of things that weren't very nice about her at the same time, and I'm not going to say them. So that was just like, yeah, that was just full on. So, yeah, that I just wanted to touch on that. I wasn't actually, as Natasha's right to say, I'm the one that brought it up on the cameras. You know, it was a laugh. I thought it was a laugh.
Well, the way they edit it does make it look like she said this one thing and all of a sudden you were like, oh, my God, that's what she's talking about.
Yeah,
we could kind of read between the lines. It's like, oh, come on. Is he really that upset about that? That did seem a little ridiculous. So now we know there was a lot more behind that. There was a lot more that was said and brought back to you.
Oh, like, you got like 0.3% of what actually was said on the and said about, you know, us and her and, yeah, a whole bunch of things were said. But also relating back to the lie detector test, the guy that did it had worked in the US FBI. He's worked with a number of high agencies. He's done massive criminal investigations here in Australia. Like, he's completely credible. And Stacey came out and said, oh, you know, it's my dad's friend.
Oh, God.
What are you talking about? He was just on TV doing another one. So he does do TV stuff. That's what he does now because obviously he's credible. And she said, oh, I'm going to come out and do my own one. Well, that's yet to be seen. But, you know, it is what it is. I think the common belief out there is like, well, if you were so innocent, like if it was me, someone was saying that about me, I'd be definitely going to do whatever I need to clean my name. Not just saying, look, we weren't together, so there was nothing wrong with it, and then just going and never bring it up again. But,
do you think Michael believed that it happened?
I don't know. I don't know if Michael believed it happened or not. I mean, I think deep down he does, but I think then at the same time, it's like when you really want to believe someone, sometimes you can pull the wool over someone's eyes. But
true.
Yeah, it I'm not sure. I mean, I don't really talk to him that much, so.
Did they come to you and ask you, hey, do you want to take a lie detector test and that sort of thing? Or were you like, hey, let me do this to get this off my chest?
I was like, because after the show, you know, you get bombarded with like 50,000, well, not 50,000, but you get thousands of messages. And there's a whole forum on Facebook. It did happen or did not. And I was like I really want people to not realize that I haven't made this up. Like, and people are doing, he's doing it for attention. I'm like, if I was doing anything for attention, I wouldn't have left the show. I get an option to say stay. Like, I would have stayed on there like some people do, even though, like, wink, wink, Michelle and Steve, where you just know things aren't going to, you know, things aren't going to work out, where I would have just stayed on the show for the publicity. I mean, well, millions of viewers, an extra 10 weeks, why not? So it definitely wasn't done on the premises of that. It was just, I don't know, it was just, and I tried to... I remember that one of the producers asked me the day after it happened, said, what happened with you and what's going on with you and Stacey? There was words going around, obviously, because people knew about it. And I said, nothing. I denied it at the time. So if I really wanted, they would have brought it back into the show and made a big bust up about it because it was relevant. But I denied, and here we are talking about it.
A year later. Well, in the US, I think, and I don't know if it's the same in Australia, but I think you are very believable, and I think everybody tends to believe you over Stacey. I don't know that anybody believed.
No.
It seemed like so obvious to us that she was full of shit. Was the reception the same from the Australian audience, or did they believe her over you?
I think she had her little band of loyal followers, like a little clique, because I definitely got some hate from that, but... like the majority of the comments were like, it just doesn't add up. The text, the washing the clothes. She first denied there was no text. Then she also said like she cheated on her last partner and things like that. So yeah, it didn't look good for her. And then she said, I'll take it to my grave and all these things. And then everyone thought, you know, like, well, why would he come back? And you just said it perfectly before. I actually got a bit of a good edit. Like, I looked like a pretty nice, sweet guy. Like, why would I come back and jeopardize all that for one episode? And that's all she wrote for that one.
Okay, so I have to ask. When you said you got so much hate and death threats that you actually had to leave, was that like a year ago you're talking about when it all came out?
Yeah. Okay. So when it aired and stuff, the Channel 9 got air of some of the texts that were, someone inboxing one of the contestants' Instagrams saying, like, I'm outside his house, ripping my letterbox and stuff like that. And one of the contestants saying, oh, I want the hard word on him, and et cetera, et cetera. So I was actually out on Thursday night with Ivan at an event, and they said, do not go back to your apartment, go to a hotel. We stayed there for a week. My family know about it. My brother know about it. We had to stay at a hotel and I had events on that weekend. I couldn't move. Look, I didn't. You just don't know how seriously you take these things. That's the thing. So you might have a 90%, 99% chance. It's just a bit of a, you know, they're just trying to get at you. But just in case it's that 1% chance, they have to take all the protective measures.
Well,
so
isn't Stacey's ex-husband like in some motorcycle gang or something?
Yeah. So obviously there's, and I don't know what you read. You just don't know what you read or whatever. But obviously there's like, I don't know if there's that stuff as well. So given the, you know, they didn't do their background researches of, you know, cast members and stuff, there was some risk there. And so, yeah, I just kept my head down, and I didn't really do much more interviews about maths because it wasn't going anywhere. There was no real point. I thought that I'd got my point across, as you said before, like, you know, that, you know, the there was a popular belief out there of what happened. And I didn't really, you find a lot of people still just trying to keep their name up there just related to maths. Like, I'm happy having a profile, but I want to do like positive stuff and my own stuff now, not keep relating back to maths. I've taken it all off my Instagram and my Facebook, but you guys are obviously in the States. it'd be a bit pointless doing it for someone in Australia now, because I'm like, you had your chance, it's gone, it's over. But you guys, it's still relevant. Yeah. It's just finished.
Plus, it's nice to have you guys kind of give a last say, because so many of your stories were just dropped off. We have no idea what happened. You got you and Natasha just were gone. Like, oh, you didn't get along, you're gone. And then Natasha tells us they sent her to Bali to kind of decompress. Did they send you anywhere? Or where did you go when you got off the show?
No, they didn't do anything. They didn't send me anywhere. They didn't do anything. They just flew me back. Now that I look back at it, I honestly could have got, for that, I could have got so much more. Like, there was so much bargaining power I could have had, because legally, like, I just don't have to do anything.
Oh, so yeah, I'm sure.
So I could have got a lot more out of them, because they really needed me at the end. With me admitting it, it just looked like they were just coming up with some sort of story. So I do regret that. I wish I knew the power that was within my hands. But, you know, I'm not that kind of person anyway, to leverage or anything like that. So, you know.
So are you in a relationship now? Tell our friends. No,
not in a relationship at the moment. I just recently broke up with someone. So just going to do my own thing for a while, get my head right. It's been a hell of a year with everything, COVID and, you know, relationships, maths, work, everything. It's been a big year for everyone, I think. So just taking a bit of time, I think. And it's just summer over here, so I'll get on the boat, do a bit of fishing come December, and realign for next year, and see what's going to happen for everyone. Well, thanks for having me, girls.
Thank you so much for coming on. We're done with you. We won't ask you any more about maths. Good luck with everything else you have going on. And thank you so much for coming on the Dames Who Dish podcast.
There is nothing like a dame. Nothing.